We're going to talk to somebody right now from Wisconsin. It's Brenda. Is it Brenda Bernstein or Bernstein?
Bernstein.
Ooh, Bernstein. Okay. And we were just talking before the break about our LinkedIn profiles. Mine is absolutely atrocious. And I know that you wrote an ebook about LinkedIn. What's that ebook called?
How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile.
Okay, so tell us how to do it. I mean, I also read it. It's a very readable thing. You have a bunch of tips. And I'd say that, like, I violated most of them. You list a bunch of mistakes that people make. I think I've violated most of them. But what are some mistakes that people make on LinkedIn?
Oh, well, there are so many. One of them is people still sometimes don't have a photo. And, you know, when people look at a LinkedIn profile, they want to see who you are. So having a photo and a professional photo is very important. Another is not having a lot of connections. Because when most people search for you on LinkedIn, they're going to get a list of people who are the most closely connected with you. So the first degree connections, those are the ones where you're directly connected, will come up first, then the people who are connected to you second degree, then third degree. So if you don't have a lot of connections, those third degree connections are going to be the most of them, and you're not going to be able to tell much about those people. Their profiles are going to be hidden, and you'll just be stuck. And if people find you, they're not going to be able to see anything about you either. So the more first-degree connections, if you have 500, 1,000, then people are going to be able to find out a lot more about you much more easily, and you'll be able to connect with a lot more people very easily, and that's the point of LinkedIn.
Yeah, I'm surprised that you recommend that, actually, because I am sort of skeptical to add people I don't know. So what if somebody you don't know makes a request?
Well, I would do a little bit of research as much as you can on who that person is. If they seem a little bit suspicious and like they might be just trying to spam you, then don't connect with them. But if they look like they're an established professional and someone who you'd be happy to have as a connection, then I would say accept. If you don't feel comfortable without having a conversation with them first, then start up a conversation. And that's one of the other mistakes that I think people make on LinkedIn is they think, oh, well, I have my LinkedIn profile up. Now it's supposed to do everything I want it to do. Well, no, you actually have to take some action and meet people. So get a LinkedIn request from someone. Say, hey, thanks for that request. I'd like to connect with people who I know. So let's have a conversation. And then you could meet with someone and meet a new person. Who knows what could happen from there.
So do you have any stories about negative connections that people have made? Like they took your advice and then they thought, oh my gosh, this person is a creep. Why did I do this?
Well, I haven't had anyone come directly to me and be upset with me for my advice, but certainly there are situations like that. And, you know, I sometimes will connect with someone who makes a request, and then I get some weird email from them saying, I have a business proposition for you. And I'm, okay, that's, or they're trying to get me to do something or another, some multi-level marketing scheme or something like that. But you know what? When I get something like that, I just unconnect with them. It's pretty simple. You don't have to stay connected, so I just unconnect. And there are some situations on LinkedIn where people have experienced stalking or things like that, but mostly those are from people who they already know who are trying to find them. And, I mean, that's, you know, that happens on all social media sites, and it's very unfortunate that it happens.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten anything quite that creepy. Maybe like one or two people who've called me because they like my photo or something like that, but they haven't ever really bothered me, so I haven't had any horrible things happen.
Oh, that's good. Now, what other mistakes that people make? Of course, like I said in your ebook about LinkedIn, and what is it called again?
How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile.
Okay, of course I'm plugging it because I think it's very good, and I like how you set it up because it's succinct and it's easy to search through. I mean, it is an ebook, so you can just, you know, when you download it, it's a PDF. But what are some other mistakes? You list, I think, over 20 mistakes.
Yes, I list 18, and then I have a bunch of bonus tips too.
Okay, yeah, I was including the bonus tips.
Yeah, so let's see. Another one is that people have errors in their LinkedIn profile, like typos, grammatical errors. They have recommendations there that have typos and grammatical errors in them. None of that makes you look like a professional, and LinkedIn is there as a professional networking site. So that would be one. And you know, number one biggest mistake is not having a LinkedIn profile at all, you know, or having a very rudimentary LinkedIn profile, because when people meet you at any networking function, You might think, oh, well, I meet people in person. I don't need a LinkedIn profile. Well, the fact is, people meet you in person, and the first thing they do is they go and they look at your LinkedIn profile to find out more about you. They will look there before they'll even look for a website. So not having the profile in the first place is a big mistake. I don't think I have that actually in my book, but just not taking it seriously is a big mistake.
Yeah, because, I do have mine. Like I said, if you friend me or whatever they call connect with me, we should, because you'll see all I have is anytime I get a new gig, I just list it and that's the end. I have no description. That's very typical. I know that's one of your things, and I know that you help people with that. They should do a good LinkedIn description in the beginning. And I'm actually wondering, I've noticed some people who I went to high school with, okay, and they have these descriptions that make them sound like really bloviated, really fake, really corporate. What do you think about those kinds of descriptions or profile descriptions?
Well, anytime you find yourself using that highfalutin language and that you think sounds good and is a little overblown, I would always encourage you to find another way to say it that's much more grounded in what your accomplishments are. And, you know, the same thing comes up with resume writing. And this is one of my mistakes also, is that people take their resume summary, that little paragraph at the top of the resume, and they just stick that in the LinkedIn profile. And I think that's a mistake, because you have 2,000 characters to use in your LinkedIn profile to write a real branding statement of who you are. Use the 2,000 characters. You can put graphics in there. You can really list your accomplishments. It's more of a place for a real bio of who you are than just like slapping that resume section in. But always, in any kind of writing, look for the real concrete things that you can say, where you're not straining to find some fancy schmancy word to put on the page, because people will just, their eyes will glaze over that stuff.
What about just writing, like, I notice this about internet writing, it's very straightforward nowadays, and I'm just wondering, what about just writing simply, you know, your profile as if you're speaking?
Exactly. That's absolutely what I would recommend. Keep it as simple as possible, easy to absorb. Tell stories. You know, that's what people like to read.
Yeah. And now you also mentioned resume writing, and you help people with that too, right?
I do. I am a resume writer, and I work with people of all levels, although my focus is on executive resume writing. And it's the same rules in resume writing. You want to have your accomplishments there. You want to have, well, what did you actually do for this organization? What did it look like before? What actions did you take? What results did you get? What impact did you have on the organization? And that applies whether you're an entry level, whether you work at Starbucks or Sparrows. You know, I've written resumes for people like that, and you can actually come up with a difference that you made no matter what your position is, but especially at the executive level. And I find a lot of executives have old resumes or no resume, and it's all about kind of their job description, and it doesn't get to those hard-hitting results that are going to show what you can do for your next organization.
Yeah, because
that's what you need to have.
Yeah, because isn't that what resumes used to be? They used to just be like, I worked here, I worked here, I worked here. So when did that change?
That's changed over the last few years in a very big way, especially I think when the economy kind of took a downturn. I think that was part of when that started to happen, because you want to prove to an organization that whatever salary they're paying you, you're going to make like 5 times that at least for the organization. Like, why would they pay your salary if you couldn't make money for their organization, right? So you want to prove that you can make money for the organization, and how you're going to do that. So that's what you got to put on your resume. And a lot of resumes do not have that information.
Should you also do that on LinkedIn?
You can also do that on LinkedIn. Now, you might not want to be as public with some of the accomplishments on LinkedIn as you would be, you know, on your resume. It's a more limited audience who might be seeing it. So you need to take into consideration confidentiality issues and how comfortable you are sharing certain things, but as much as you can, yes. If you don't want to name a company, then you can describe the company. If you don't want to name a number, use a percentage. You know, there are ways that you can create the information on LinkedIn in a way that you feel comfortable expressing it and still get across what you accomplished.
You know, I'm talking to Brenda Bernstein. We only have a couple of minutes left, but what are some other tips that people can walk away with when they do their LinkedIn profile, which I should do too when I leave this radio station today?
One thing I think I haven't covered yet is keywords. You do need to have keywords because people, if they're going to be searching for someone like you, you want to have keywords in your headline and your job titles that that will be will have you be found when people search on those keywords. So depending on your industry, you just want to pick the words that are most relevant for your industry.
How do you know what keywords to choose?
Well, one way to do that is to look at Google keyword search. You can also look at job descriptions if you're a job seeker and put those through a program called Wordle, and you'll start to see words that kind of pop up as coming up most often. Some of them are self-explanatory, but if you look at a lot of job descriptions or a lot of company descriptions for who you are, if you're a job seeker, look at job descriptions. If you're a company, look at company descriptions. Look on Google and start to make a big list and then narrow it down to like your top 10 and then just hit those keywords over and over in your profile.
Is that because people do a search for keywords?
People do a search, yeah. They'll do an advanced search on LinkedIn and they'll put in keywords. They're like, I'm looking for, you know, a dog sitter in Madison, Wisconsin, you know, and if you don't have dog sitter in your profile, then you're not going to be found when people look for that. You know, it's whatever people are looking for.
Okay, now, Brenda Bernstein, what is your website where people can get more information? There's a ton of information on your website. Plus, what I like about your ebook, How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile, is you actually update it for people. So where can people go to get more information?
Yeah, people can go to my website. It's www.theessayexpert.com. That's theessayexpert.com, and you'll be able to find my ebook there. You can also find it on Amazon. It's How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile. If you want the free updates, free lifetime updates, then you can get it from my website in PDF form. Also, I do have a resume book coming out soon. I'm going to have one called How to Write a Winning Resume and one called How to Write a Stellar Executive Resume. So look out for those as well.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much.